Hey, football fans, it's Andrew Filippone, host of the First and Pod podcast. Join me and my co-host, three-time All-Pro Patrick Peterson, as we break down every game every week. New episodes drop on Monday and Friday mornings. Be sure to subscribe on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
7 minutes past 8 o'clock here in our nation's capital as we get you geared up for the offseason for the Burgundy and Gold, off of the heels of one of the most memorable seasons in franchise history. Now the work begins for real. I've dubbed it the most pivotal offseason of the rebuild, and I mean it. It's overtime right here on 106.7 The Fan. We're always streaming live nationally on the free Odyssey apps. The youngest of Charles Linnell Willingham. I'll take you up to 10 o'clock. Coming up in about 53 minutes. I'm being literal with the time here, people. 9 o'clock. We'll go out to Mobile, Alabama, where we find our guy J.P. Acosta of SB Nation. He was out at the Senior Bowl. We'll take a look at some later-round prospects Washington could be interested in, and then some winners and losers from the Senior Bowl, as it is draft season, ladies and gentlemen. And if you're still feeling a little doom and gloom like your boy, by the way Washington lost last Sunday, let me give you some perspective. This time around, as we're getting geared up for the NFL draft, as we're talking about the NFL draft, we're picking 29th. Last year, we were picking second. So if you were looking for some perspective, there it is.
From second to what, third to last?
Yeah, that's how you do it.
Pretty good.
That is what you call recalibrating on the fly, as Dan Quinn and Adam Peters dubbed it. Ron Rivera somewhere saying, so it doesn't take 5 years? That idiot.
That was a pretty good Ron, I'll give you that.
1-800-636-1067 is the number. Who must Washington bring back, and who is it probably best that they move on from as we continue to take your calls on that? I'll be getting to Cliff Kingsbury here in a second, but first let's go to my guy Uptown Mo. Mo, what's going on, brother, man?
Man, L, you had me all the way up until you said you interested in bringing 2-5 back.
You're the second, I mean, third caller that said it.
Hey, what is going on with you? If you squint your eyes, Marshawn played just like 2-5. I'm worried about 2-3 look like 2-5. I'm worried. I am definitely worried about 2-3. But listen, the key is to bring back Jeff Driscoll. Don't you understand? I'm playing. You have to bring back Wagner, I believe, for a year to mentor the young linebackers or whatever. And then I believe Ertz is a keeper. Cleveland Farrell, everybody else can go, but I have a thing for Fowler. Like, I love Fowler. The hit that Fowler made in Detroit on the first play of the game really set the tone. 10.5 sacks. Pass rush special. You know, he remind me of Doomerville.
Wow, look at you. Elvis. That's a pull, Mo. Elvis Dumerville. Come on now. Yeah, I remember Elvis.
Yeah, just, you know, coming off the edge.
Smaller guy.
Hey.
Let me ask you this, Mo. Would you rather have Dante Fowler or Von Miller? Because Von Miller's going to be a cap casualty this year for Buffalo.
So I'd rather have Dante Fowler, even though Von Miller's the man. Him and Mac are just like, I love them growing up. But I'd rather have Dante Fowler. And as for the Deami Brown conversation, people got to realize, you know, he started the scoring in the Tampa Bay game. And like you said, he's come from the ashes of Phoenix, right? Like, he was going to get cut. You understand what I'm saying? Jahan Dotson style. And they found a role for him. He carved a niche out for himself. He played for Eric the Enemy. And then he comes on when other Brown gets hurt, and he starts to be productive. Some big plays in his run.
Yeah,
So you can't. Yeah, he did fumble, but he did have some big plays. So, love you, boy.
Hey,
I'm glad to hear you tell you're doing well, Snell.
Yes, indeed. Appreciate you, Mo. 1-800-636-1067 is the number. Mo brings up an interesting point when he talks about the Bobby Wagner thing. Is, I think, a lightning rod type of conversation here in D.C. And I think we all agree Bobby's got to be brought back. I just am of the belief that I don't know. People get ticked off when I say it. You want to get him his 100 tackles, right? That's the record he's shooting for this next year, is having the most consecutive seasons of 100-plus tackles. He compromised your defense at times because of the inability to consistently play sideline to sideline. So I do worry about that. But from a leadership standpoint, I think we all agree he's got to be back. The Diami thing, I continue to say it. Like, if he is my number three wideout, number four best case, then I'm okay with that because he's proved, hey, I can play without the football. I remember talking to him back in training camp, the quote that he had coming out of that wide receiver room and why he was balling so hard is, look, Coach Bobby Engram telling us straight up, no block, no rock. So it is a non-negotiable that you got to be tough and physical at the point of attack to play wide receiver in this offense. I just continue to believe wide receivers sometimes are late bloomers. And I had to watch two different offensive coaching staffs pretty much tell us he ain't worth a damn. Scott Turner couldn't find a role for him. Eric Bieniemy couldn't find a role for him almost. I was about to get the Jonah on Eric Bieniemy. I saw him on Fox Sports 1 earlier today. He looked like a damn milk dud. I'm about to fire Eric Bieniemy up, man. But no, like in reality.
No, you got me good with that one. That would kill me.
Yeah, man. In reality, though, like, Diami is somebody I would definitely be interested in bringing back. The Benjamin St. Juice thing, I wasn't being facetious when I brought him up. If he is your corner five, Mo, and other callers out there that are upset at me bringing him up, Marshawn, Mikey, Noah Igbinoghene, improved slot guy, because I think Noah is your corner four, Juice be your corner five. That's how I would want to roll with it. But Mo mentioned squinting and looking in Lattimore, looking like Juice. They're not giving up on Marshawn Lattimore. I heard the Junkies talking about it. I think I heard B. Mitch and Philly talking about it. They're not giving up on Marshawn Lattimore because of what they gave up to get him. They'd be a damn fool. We ain't got a third and a fourth round pick this year for that bum.
Yeah,
not
we do.
Bama.
It's not ours.
It's not okay. Let me actually go look at Washington's. Let's look at Commanders draft picks because I don't. Max, maybe I don't know if you're right on that, brother.
I beat you on Tankathon. Tankathon, we got the 29th, and then we got 61, which is 229, and then we have Miami's third round pick and New Orleans. So we don't have a fourth round pick, is what we.
So that's
don't
what
have.
We're missing. We're yes. missing the fourth round pick. Okay.
We do have 1/5, a sixth, and 2/7.
Yeah, see, like that's where I don't know, man. You need more draft capital than that. You have holes on this roster legitimately. So to me, it's like, So you're right. So first, a second, a third, a fifth, and 3/7.
Basically.
I mean, that ain't, you need your fourth round pick. I'm
especially
going hard
Adam
for the fourth round.
Especially Adam Peters.
I mean, that's where he does his dirt at.
Yeah.
So I wonder who you could trade to get a four, to recoup a four. That would
John
be interesting.
Allen.
Wow. We'll talk about John Allen as the weekend rolls on. I was going to promise it later, but I don't even know. We're ahead of schedule here. I want to keep it that way. Chase is in Falls Church. What's up, Chase? Who do you got to bring back? And then who are you okay with letting roll?
Linnell, great stuff as always, man.
Appreciate you, man.
And happy to, you know, listen to you be able to talk about an NFC championship. So that is dope as can
for
be.
Sure. For sure.
I'm with you. I got to bring back Mariota. I got to bring back Ertz. I got to bring – I mean, he was a top 10 tight end. I think it was an oversight by Vic.
He played well. I was surprised by Ertz, man. That was probably my biggest surprise of the season.
Oh, 100%. And then I got to bring back Wagner with you and St. Juice, to be honest. I mean, as a five, right? And I'm thinking about Chin. Serviceable, to be honest.
What are your thoughts on Chin, Chase? Because I think he started off the season slow. I thought he played well down the stretch, but then against Philly, he didn't play well, didn't tackle very well. He didn't tackle very well against Detroit either. I just wonder, will you get outpriced for him? I'm not getting into a bidding war, is how I will put it, for Jeremy Chin.
No, 100%. And I think the guys that we brought up, like Grant and Danny, talk about outplaying contracts. To me, the majority of those guys outplay their contract. And I would say that St. Juice, in all honesty, gets really penalized for things that he's not necessarily doing that or that other guys aren't doing. Mm-hmm. For some reason, I just feel like that guy's got a target on his head in terms of refs, whereas, like, the hands game, he just gets called insanely. To me, letting Fuller go was one of the biggest, you know, mistakes we did as a
That's an interesting one, Chase. Yeah, that's you know? I agree. In hindsight, yeah.
And then O-line-wise, I mean, we, you know, Scott's okay. Tressway, we got to bring. So.
Yes.
You know.
I know Corin Lucas is a guy we talked about as well, Chase. Appreciate you calling as always, brother. Enjoy the weekend. 1-800-636-1067. I guess, I don't know, Max. Is it just me being naturally petty? I want to read some tweets here as well. I know they got to bring back Marcus Mariota, but you haven't seen me stand on the table for yet. I know they got to bring him back. You want to keep the continuity there.
Yeah, absolutely.
So I will bring him back for sure. I'm just, if Ertz was my biggest surprise, Mariota makes my top five surprise list. My peekaboo list is what I call that. 1-800-636-1067. Taj tweets at me and says, wow, some of your callers are idiots. The defense had no leadership. I think he's referring to Vic and Akiki's call. What would you call Wagner? Wagner was a great leader. It's just the physical limitation shown in the Philly game. The team needs to upgrade on talent. Plenty of leadership. I agree. I do think there's plenty of leadership. Our guy Athen tweets and says, Adam Peters has his work cut out for him because the defense needs a significant upgrade. I think they'll be able to at least maintain what they have on offense and improve, but the defense is the highest level of priority. Hashtag Willie. Bobby is in Woodbridge. What's going on, Bobby?
Hey, how's it going? Happy Friday.
Happy Friday, brother.
So, loving what they did with Adam Peters and everybody, especially overachieving everybody's expectations. You know they're going to make upgrades this offseason. I'm down to bring back everybody that the positions they can't fill just because that brotherhood is so tight in the locker room. It would kind of create this, like, seamless embedment of with the new players that come on here as well, where it'll make it a lot easier for them to transition into the culture. If I could make a take at it, I got a couple regarding Dwami Brown.
Yeah, go ahead.
Don't hate him. Don't love him. I love, how can I say it, for what he did in those first two games in the playoffs, I do think that fumble against the Eagles definitely just negated everything. It, like, overshadowed all of his accomplishments. And if I had to make a quick, like, transition to the defense, what I would do, go pick up Jair Alexander and go pick up the strong safety for San Francisco.
I don't know. See, and I'm interested in anybody that would bring up that name, Bobby. Jair's another older corner. If I'm going to go free agent corner, the kid DJ Reed out with the Jets is somebody that I'd be interested in.
I like DJ Reed. Let me ask you this. Do you think he would want to come over here?
You know what's crazy?
To me that, like, we're a spot that, like, a lot of people want to come to. And I'm sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off.
No, you're good. You're good. Because I think you make a good point because, as you said, he was one of the first guys. His agent came out in the leaked report back in, like, October that people were going to want to come here. But they hired Aaron Glenn, who is one of the most respected secondary coaches in the NFL, as the Jets head coach. And then they brought in Chris Harris today. And Chris Harris, I know, was chomping at the bit, formerly of the Commanders, chomping at the bit to work with a defensive back of the talent of Sauce Gardner. So I think that's going to be interesting in terms of DJ Reed. But I do agree, though, Bobby. Like, corner's got to be a spot where they add an upgrade. I'm bringing in competition. It's Sam Ristill, Lattimore, Igbinogany, and then a fourth corner, to me, competing for three spots. Somebody's going to be the odd man out. And you hope it's not Lattimore.
See, I like the way that you had it listed with the top five. Like, I think keep Lattimore, bring in somebody to play across from him. You know,
and
it doesn't
put
have
Mikey
to be
back in the slot,
tier A, could be like a tier B, move center stall to nickel.
Yeah.
And then, like you said, have Inagbe as your number four, have St. Juice as your number five.
Because in that situation, I think we can all agree, even though St. Juice is rough, if he's your fifth corner, Bobby, I think he's much more tolerable.
Oh, yeah. I mean, dude, don't get me wrong. I mean, it is what it is. Like, you got to take him for what – or you know what you're going to get in him. You can't leave him on an island because he's going to get burnt.
Exactly.
But you know he's going to play physical at the line,
for
you
sure.
know?
For sure. Bobby, I appreciate you tapping in as always, man. Enjoy the weekend. Kevin in Virginia, you bring something up that's sneaky, sneaky good, Kevin. Can you let the listeners hear it? Because I'm actually on board with your idea.
Talking about the field goal kicker?
Debo.
Oh, Debo, yeah. No, we definitely need Debo. That will help.
He's the Kevin, he is like the perfect gadget guy for this offense.
Oh, I don't know if defenses could handle both him and Daniels. They go nuts.
Yeah.
And you can still get another wide receiver because Debo doesn't always – line up at wide receiver. Right. He could be a halfback or whatever. But I think he'd be a home run. And I think Peters knows him, so right. Why not?
He may end up being a cap casualty this year in San Fran.
Yeah. I mentioned also, use one of those seven picks for a solid college field goal kicker. The last guy, I forget his name, I just didn't trust him.
Zane Gonzalez. Yeah.
Gonzalez. I mean, maybe I was misplaced by that, but it'd be nice to have a kicker we can rely on for the next 5 years.
Kevin, I'll say this. I hate it. It's become more something that you see happening more often, rather. I'm not drafting college kickers. We got too many other holes, man. If Brandon McManus didn't have the weird incident on the plane, allegedly, he'd be our kicker.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, anyway, we went through a carousel of kickers this year and you know, different levels.
Because
and
of injury, that's though. Not because of poor kicking.
Well, that'll bite us in a close game one day. And,
yeah, I hear you.
Part of the game, I know. And then I think we need another lockdown corner. I think that Ben Morrison at Notre Dame, where I went to school, I know him. He was hurt, but he's a talented kid, and he'll be available at the end of the first round.
I'm very familiar, Kevin, with Ben Morrison, and I think from a physicality standpoint, height, weight, speed, he's exactly what they want. Big, rangy, long kid that's got some speed on him. So I wouldn't be against it. My early lean, Kevin, I appreciate the call, brother. Have a good weekend. My early lean on the draft, and now we're jumping all over the place. I think it's more likely that they trade out of 29 than they stick and pick, because that could be your avenue to acquiring that fourth-round pick that currently eludes you, is trading from 29 back into the first round. And here's the thing. Daniel Jeremiah, the NFL Network, somebody who I consider like the draft guru. I love Kuiper. I love Todd McShay. But there's no – somebody like Daniel Jeremiah. Jordan Reed does a good job, too, for ESPN. But DJ, to me, is my one seed in terms of draft analyst. He said that the talent in this draft, you're going to get the same level of player from 20 to 60. All those guys are lumped in. There are not a lot of first-round grades in this draft, but the meat of the draft from a talent standpoint is picks 20 to 60. If you're Washington, you're right in that sweet spot. You're right in that sweet spot where you trade back from 29, and you're still going to end up with potential. Here's how I look at it. If you've got a first, a second, a third, a fourth, a two-fifths, what was that, four picks? You need two starters. And that's the one thing. The jury is still out for me when it comes to Adam Peters in the draft. Because I'm going to say it. I don't know how much longer Luke McCaffrey will be in the league. His last name may keep him around. He was completely uninspiring this year. And when you think about the attrition Washington dealt with at wide receiver, if he couldn't get on the field this year, when does he get on the field? Because they're only going to get better in that room. Now, granted, converted wide receiver turn, or quarterback to wide receiver, rookie. And like I said with Diami, sometimes at wide receiver, guys develop slower. I think we fell in love with Luke because he was training with Jaden Daniels at 5 in the morning. I think he got a little bit of benefit of the doubt from the hype train.
Well, and his separation grade was so high.
That's because he's running screens half the damn time.
I don't disagree.
I found that out, but yeah.
Numbers say so.
Numbers do say so. Denton Day, our guy. A gambling junkie like yourself, Max?
Yeah, me and him were on the train all year, and
it never worked out. It never worked out. It was tough, man.
Yeah, it was. Tell that to my wallet.
He's somebody, though, man, that, like, I like him on kick return. He doesn't fumble. Jeremy McNichols.
That he doesn't.
Yeah. I like him on kick return. If he's your wide receiver 5, I'm okay. If he's your wide receiver 4,
and he adds a little bit of dynamic to the offense, because he can get him on a trick play, he can throw the ball.
Yeah, I can't believe OZ dropped the Diami deep ball against Dallas. Holy cow. He's another guy, man, that I think OZ is a commander from a physicality standpoint, how hard he plays. He's another guy I'd be inclined to bring back. It's going to be interesting, man. Like I continue to say, this is a pivotal critical offseason, whatever adjective you want to use to describe it, it's go hard or go home. Andre Manassas earlier had an interesting call talking about you don't need to be in a rush. And I love that he brought up that side of the argument because I don't think you're necessarily in a rush. I think it's a situation where you're maximizing him on the rookie deal. And you only got so much time with that. That's the reality of it. Max, we didn't get your guys.
Yeah. One guy I would absolutely let walk is Michael Davis.
Oh,
that one's an obvious one.
Real quick aside on Mike Davis. No offense to his wife. She's real active on TikTok.
Mm-hmm.
He made so many TikToks during the year.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't like that.
He's tatted, too, by the way.
Yeah?
Yatted, as we would say back in the day, right? Yatted.
Yeah, so Michael Davis, I'm just letting...
He stinks. He's not an NFL player.
Yeah, I don't want him dragging receivers down in the end zone before the ball gets there. I'm good off that. One guy I would bring back who nobody's mentioned yet, and it's because he's like the fourth defensive lineman on this team, Sheldon Day has been played really well. And
that's a good answer.
He's a UFA going into this offseason.
I would definitely consider, yeah.
Definitely lock that up.
You know who lost their spot with me?
Hmm.
Jeremy McNichols.
Yeah.
You're out of there, buddy.
Yeah.
Out of there.
Especially like with how deep the running back class is in this draft.
Yeah.
Like, I'm sorry, man. Like, your pass pro is pretty good.
Yeah.
But at the same time, you got to hold on to the football.
I don't want to go back too far, but Will Shipley forcing that fumble? Like, come on.
It's tough, man. It's so tough.
That was, I'll be real, the Eckler joint was the one that I was like, all right, man, we're cooked. Because on that drive, you go get a field goal, it's an 8-point game. You go score a touchdown, it's a 4-point game.
Yeah.
The Eckler joint got me, but then McNichols was before the Eckler one, and I was like, damn.
Yeah, the McNichols one, like, you know that Will Levis picture where he's on his knees and he's it's that.
It is that. We're gonna go to Eric and Bowie. Eric, what do you got, man? Who do you think Washington has to bring back? Who are you okay letting walk?
I think they gotta bring back Jeremy Chinn. He had a heck of a game against Detroit.
Yeah.
But McNichols, that fumble, I was talking with my friend. He's got to go. They're going to cut him. That fumble was like, it was a 20-12 game. If they were scoring on that drive, it's like a 1-point game.
Yeah, for sure.
Or a 0-point game. But I was going to talk about the draft.
Yeah, go ahead. Like,
you say they want to trade back. I would trade back like with the Raiders. Because there's a really good dude. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So like, get like, or a first round, a second round pick, a third round pick, and a fourth round pick for their first round, and get Jack Sawyer added off the edge from Ohio State, who had a crazy postseason.
You know what, Eric?
National championship.
Eric, I think Jack Sawyer may not be the sexiest guy because he's more of your traditional three down end, but he sets the edge, and I think he's got the strength and the motor will end up giving you pass rush juice. I like the idea of that. Edge rush is the spot they got to go with, though. I think we agree on that.
Or if they didn't want to trade back their first-round pick, they could always get Trey Harris out of Ole Miss, who's projected to fall down to them in the first round.
It's going to be interesting to see, man. Eric, I appreciate you as always, brother. 1-800-636-1067 is the number. We'll take a quick timeout. When we come back, we'll look at some of the potential ramifications of Cliff Kingsbury returning. How concerned are you moving forward about the Commanders' offensive staff getting poached? We'll discuss that here on Overtime. 1-800-636-1067, the number on the MGM National Harbor Listener Lines. You can tweet at me as well. It is at NELL_BTP. About an hour left to go here on this Friday night edition of Overtime. Spent a lot of time talking about the Washington Commanders and the offseason coming up here. An offseason that I'm dubbing the most pivotal of the rebuild here for the Burgundy and Gold. Got to capitalize on having Jaden Daniels on this rookie contract. I think Washington ultimately will. We will see, though, man, how aggressive they are this offseason when it comes to adding talent to this football team, man. It's going to be exciting. I can't wait to see what they do with free agency. Can't wait to see who they bring back, who they let go. All I know is this. Is now or never. I guess that's kind of hyperbole. It's not now or never, but damn it, I want him. Next year should be about you getting over the hump and being a legitimate contender. That's what it should be about. And how do you do that? You continue to be aggressive, adding talent to this roster on the offensive side of the football and on the defensive side of the football. One area where they may get a little worse, and it won't be any fault of theirs, is if they lose guys on this coaching staff. Now, they've already lost someone. I was actually looking at it on the top of the fandc.com today. The Washington Commanders lost their assistant special teams coach, John Glenn, to the Raiders, as he'll be their new linebackers coach under Pete Carroll. That's just the first of many departures that I expect. Maybe not this offseason, but in the seasons to come.
I think Blau's getting a look from the Jets, isn't he?
Yeah, they actually hired their offensive coordinator today. He's getting looks as the pass game coordinator, too, there, though.
Interesting.
Brian Johnson, interview with the Texans for their OC spot. So, Tevita Pritchard interviewed in Jacksonville for their offensive coordinator spot. Anthony Lynn was supposed to be a candidate in Dallas for something, but they filled their OC spot today as well. We'll actually go around the NFL in the 9 o'clock hour and look at some of the hirings in the cycle here. But, yeah, like, Cliff Kingsbury coming back was expected. I just think when you looked at the jobs on the market, once he came out and said, hey, I'm not interviewing or even looking at any jobs until we're eliminated, them punching their ticket to the NFC title game, they earned the right to keep Cliff Kingsbury, in my opinion.
Absolutely.
Because if New Orleans, first of all, Max, the New Orleans job is.
New Orleans job is. No.
Even on Madden, it's not a fun lift.
Good luck, Kellen Moore. That's all I'm going to say. Good luck.
Yeah, Kellen, I continue to believe Kellen wanted the Dallas job, but Jerry wasn't patient enough to wait.
Agreed.
As
he so often is not.
Yeah. The Schottenheimer thing is interesting. Dak seems to be all on board for it, but why wouldn't he be? He can't stay healthy.
He has to be.
Has no say-so in anything at this point. But for Washington, this was the discussion, and this was the potential issue. I hate to be negative here. I'm just being transparent. This was the potential drawback and downfall to hiring a defensive-minded coach. Having that potential revolving door at offensive coordinator. And, yes, they built a deep staff on the offensive side to where they can withstand some losses. But Tavita's getting an interview. That's your quarterback's coach. Your assistant's quarterback coach. And David Blau's getting an interview. Those would be your two immediate replacements, I would think, right? And then you look at Brian Johnson getting a serious look in Houston with the Texans. I'll just say this about the Brian Johnson thing. His track record with young quarterbacks, add Jaden Daniels to the mix, is like flawless.
It's very good.
Jalen Hurts, Dak Prescott, Jaden Daniels. I'm missing somebody in this mix as well. But he's done a really good job working with young quarterbacks. Could he be the guy to potentially get C.J. Stroud back on track? But with Brian Johnson and anybody that you could potentially lose, like I said, this was the potential drawback to hiring the defensive-minded head coach. But your ownership group, right, this is where Josh Harris and company get to flex their muscles a little bit. You got the cheddar. Your paper is right. You can keep everybody. Because if you're David Blau, why the hell am I leave? Why would I not want to be the OC here when Cliff eventually leaves and get to work with a good quarterback? And if I'm Tavita, I'm thinking the same thing. Obviously, Jacksonville with T-Law, as much as people want to dunk on Trevor Lawrence, I still think there is meat on the bone, so to speak, and maybe, just maybe, Liam Cohen's the guy to get it out of him. Here's the thing with Liam Cohen.
Duval.
Yeah, I mean, just awkward. Who do they?
It's tough.
You see who they
say
he looked like?
I've heard many comparisons, but I want to hear this one now.
Our pristine Saturday morning host, Adam Epstein.
Yeah, a little
AWOD.
Bit.
He looked like AWOD.
Ever so slightly, yeah.
Duval. Weirdo, man. Just a weirdo. But no, it's the potential drawback, as I keep going back to, of having the defensive-minded head coach. Then it becomes, if you're an assistant, will the grass be greener in a new location? Which is why I brought up Tavita. Like, if I'm going to leave Jaden Daniels, I would like to go work with another young, promising quarterback. Trevor Lawrence, I guess, could fit that bill. You just look like somebody was in the studio that wasn't supposed to be in the studio. I'm always ready.
I don't see anybody. Okay. I heard a door, but...
Yeah, I also heard said door. I'd jump out this window so quick.
I know you would. You could fight live on air.
Man. But no, like, you have to be prepared for this if you're Washington. And I'm not going to panic over it because I do think Jaden has the sauce. Jaden is the sauce. You know who I'd love to see Jaden work with, who's apparently getting looks? They talk about old Chip Kelly ain't going to be at OSU too much longer.
Oh, my.
Woo-wee. That you want to talk about a diverse run game? Yeah, Will Howard looking good. That was the guy that I thought was going to be the reason OSU didn't get over the hump. And he played his ass off down the stretch. So
turns out he's a running quarterback.
Like, yeah.
Nobody thought, who'd have thunk it?
So that'd be interesting. I just think moving forward, you got to be prepared for Washington staff to get poached. And it isn't going to mean doom. I don't think it'll ever spell doom for this group because I think the quarterback, Jaden Daniels, is the special sauce. To Cliff's credit, though, you'd be hard-pressed to find me an offensive coordinator this year that did a better job of maximizing his talent on the offensive side of the football. Alamide Zaccheaus turning into a primetime player. Jamison Crowder in his third stint with the team turning into a guy. And then Terry. He got, as critical as we were about Cliff not lining Terry up in the right spots, he had a career year and got off in an extreme way. So, Cliff Kingsbury back for another year with the Commanders. The potential impact, though, we'll have to wait and see as Washington staff continues to get finalized for the 2025 season. We'll take a quick timeout. Remember, in about 15 minutes, about J.P. Acosta of SB Nation going to join us live from Mobile at the Senior Bowl. We'll take a look at some potential prospects the Commanders could be looking at. We'll take a timeout when we get back. Chris Sims of NBC Sports with some interesting comments about Jaden Daniels and where he stacks up amongst the top signal callers in the NFL. Let's hear from Chris Sims next. Welcome back. It's overtime here on 106.7 The Fan. We're always streaming live nationally on the free Odyssey app. Make sure you're listening to the Odyssey app all day long on 106.7 The Fan, as well as the Team 980. There is a nationwide contest going on right now. The winner will get a trip for four to Vegas during the opening two rounds of the tournament. And you'll also check this out. This is why I asked, can we get in on this? $20,000 in spending money to create the ultimate tourney weekend. You can win the ultimate tournament trip to Vegas just by listening to 106.7 The Fan. Win a trip for you and three friends during the first two rounds of the college basketball championships. Flights, hotels, and $20,000 to go out and spend. Just download the Always Free Odyssey app and listen to The Fan for at least 1 hour. Listen tomorrow for at least an hour for another entry. It is Odyssey's Slam Dunk in Vegas national contest. For more info, go to odyssey.com/slamdunk. Really cool initiative Odyssey's got going on, trying to get people to engage and be on the app. You can now leave voice messages on the app. I don't know how I feel about that. Some of you are very vulgar when we have to deal with the FCC regulations.
That's why we can edit those.
Think about what they're going to say on the app.
Yeah.
Oof.
Also, Hoffman already asked if Odyssey employees were eligible for this contest. We are not.
Sounds about right.
Yeah, it's a shame. It's a real shame.
Sounds about right. We're going to take a trip out to Mobile, Alabama, coming up in about 10 minutes or so, when our pal J.P. Acosta of SB Nation joins us. We'll talk all things NFL draft, including who the Commanders should be looking at. We went through their picks earlier today. First-round pick, second-round pick, third-round pick from Philly, fifth-round pick from New Orleans, and then 3/7, two of which come from the Philadelphia Eagles. So we'll see how Washington is going to allocate their draft resources as they try to improve this roster. What I'm calling the most pivotal offseason of the rebuild. Why is it so pivotal? Because you got to maximize Jaden Daniels on the rookie contract. Speaking of Jaden Daniels, Chris Sims of NBC, normally known to get in trouble for his quarterback takes every now and then, He had this to say about where Jaden Daniels stacks up compared to the rest of the National Football League signal callers.
Entire NFL.
Ooh. Well, okay. Let's go through this exercise. There's four at the top that are non-negotiable, right? Mahomes, Lamar, Allen, Burrow, boom, four done. There's nobody. They're in a different class or tier. Then you get into the Herbert, C.J. Stroud, and please, if I'm forgetting somebody off the top of my head, jump in here. Matthew Stafford, I think that would be another guy you'd throw into the mix there with them. And maybe you get in Jared Goff, right? I feel like he's somewhere in that group right there, that next group down. So what am I saying? Top eight right now? Top nine-ish in football? Yeah, I would say that. I do. I think at this point, no disrespect to Jared Goff, no disrespect to Jalen Hurts, who do phenomenal things. Yeah, I would take Jaden Daniels. I do. Because even though he's young, the mature way he plays, that really kind of squashes that whole element out, let alone the talent he brings to the table.
That is Chris Sims pretty much hedging on where he thinks Jaden Daniels ranks. This is where it gets interesting to me, right? I think right now, it's hard because I'm a believer of you got to show me, right? And seeing it not for an extended period of time, I think clouds the judgment, so to speak, on this. Here are my top four quarterbacks in the NFL. One, Patrick Mahomes.
Easy.
And this is new rankings after the postseason is done because we know Jalen Hurts ain't really a quarterback. Pat Mahomes, one. Joe Burrow, two. He had a crazy year.
He had an MVP caliber year.
So I'm going to give him the nod for number two. Three and four was a toss-up for me. I'm going to go Lamar Jackson, Josh Allen as 3-4.
Sure.
Part of me wanted to give the edge to Josh for this reason. I think for years the convo has been Lamar's lack of a supporting cast. I think this year you can make the argument Lamar's supporting cast better than Josh Allen's.
Yeah.
But I still am going to give the nod to Lamar for number three. Josh Allen comes in at number four. And then I kind of pulled a Chris Sims to go with five. Here are the guys I have listed as up for debate for quarterback five in the NFL. And this is going to get interesting. No particular order here.
You'll get my immediate reactions.
Jaden Daniels is in that convo. Matt Good. Stafford, I think, is firmly in that convo. Dak Prescott, I think. Oh, there we go.
Disagree.
Dak Prescott, I think, is in that convo. Jared Goff, from a statistical standpoint, I think has to be considered. Jordan Love, physical talent, I think he's just him. Is going to end up being a special one. Baker played his ass off this year.
He did.
So Baker, I think, flirts in that conversation. If we're going off of just pure talent, it's Jaden Daniels. I ain't close. But I think Stafford's got the longevity of doing it.
For sure.
Dak, I think also, just statistically speaking, has had some special seasons. I know that gets you riled up. Jared Goff is a pumpkin.
He's the Jared best Goff game manager in the league.
He might as well be Sam Darnold. I look at them, they're one and the same to me. He's like a glorified Sam Darnold.
He's a little taller than Sam Darnold, I'll have you know.
And he's got a hot girlfriend. Shawty look all right.
No comment, but facts.
I think that's really who's in the convo. I would give it Jaden. I think is the best physically of all those dudes in terms of arm strength, ball placement, accuracy, and then the dual threat ability. That's where I think he takes the cake
easily.
Jordan Love, like I said, has got special tools, but he's a turnover machine. Jaden's not. Baker, I think, is. We'll see what Baker looks like next year.
Imagine having this conversation 2 years ago about Baker Mayfield possibly being top five. That's crazy.
Liam Cohen, Dave Canales, man, the two quarterback whispers. That's why they both got head coach jobs back-to-back years. Cohen didn't do as much whispering the quarterback. He kind of just picked up with Canales left. But, yeah, man, like I think Jaden should be firmly in that conversation. The question that I have now moving forward is, what does he have to do to stay in the conversation? I think we'll discuss that as the offseason rolls around. Final hour of power coming up on this Friday night edition of Overtime. We'll take a trip down to Mobile, Alabama. Our guy JP Acosta of SB Nation joins us next.